ready for the word this morning? All right. Would you, Nancy? Welcome home all the way from Thailand. Welcome back. That was a nice surprise. Okay, people got to get up and go say hi to Nancy now. Of course, Rosa does. I love our church that we can just notice when people are coming back. All the way she's been gone for, what's it been, 2 years, Nancy? Or a year? 2 years in Thailand serving in ministry and helping people over there. And so we're grateful for her and all of her hard work. We're grateful. Welcome home. Yay. I just got happy. Mark chapter 1. Grab your Bibles. Mark chapter 1. We're going to be looking at continuing in our series on advancing the kingdom today. And I'm going to preface today's message by saying that today's message is one that I believe if you listen to the title of it, you might zone out. So I don't want you to pay attention to the title and say, I already know all that. Because I believe God's going to release a freshness about this particular subject to us today as we talk about advancing the kingdom. Today we're going to be talking about three benefits of water baptism. And I know a lot of people are saying, I already got that. I already understand baptism. But trust me, I wouldn't take the time on Sunday morning to teach and take time with our large congregation on a topic if I didn't think God was releasing something fresh and new for our congregation. Somebody say amen. So everybody look at me and say, I'm not going to zone out this morning. God's got a word for me, and it's about baptism. Amen. All right, you guys got Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, verse 9 through 11. When you find it, would you do me a favor? Stand to your feet, as is our custom, out of reverence for the word of God. We're going to be reading this together. We'll be reading out of the New King James Version. If you have a different version, that's totally okay. But for the sake of us reading together, we all want to all read from the same version. Otherwise, we're going to sound like we're reading in tongues. Amen. Oh, before we do that, let's lift our Bibles or electronic devices high up in the air and say our Bible affirmation together. You ready? This is my Bible. It is God speaking to me. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. So I open my heart today to hear God speak a word that will change my life forever. All right, Mark chapter 1, verse 9 through 11. Let's read together. It came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. Then a voice came from heaven. You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Father, we thank you so much for this message this morning. I ask you, Heavenly Father, to provide a word that is fresh, living, active, and in season for each and every person that's here. Move me aside, Holy Spirit. You come in and you teach this word with power and vigor for your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Three benefits of water baptism. You know, we've been talking about people at the horizon. We've been talking about people who are in touch with heaven but have been assigned to minister on earth. And God's whole idea of the kingdom of God is to transform us and transform the world around us through the resources that we have available in heaven and bringing them down on earth. And we want to deal today with this common practice of baptism. It's what Jesus commanded us to do. And a lot of people say, what does that have to do with advancing the kingdom? You know, what's interesting is a part of the Great Commission was Matthew 28, 19. You know what it says? It says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Now, most people stop there, but they forget the next part says what? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And a lot of times we don't realize how important baptism is in the process of advancing the kingdom of God. I mean, even on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2, what is the one thing when they asked, they were cut to the heart. What should we do? Peter said, repent and what? Be baptized. So baptism is an extremely important part of our walk with God. Mark 16:16 says, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. See, baptism is not some meaningless exercise of a person who is coming to Christ. There is a purpose for that baptism. There are people who think that just because they got baptized at some point in their life, they got extra brownie points with God. You don't get no more brownie points because you got baptized. Just like you don't get no more brownie points when you go serve the homeless. You do it out of our love for God and out of our obedience to God. Because God already paid and took care of all the brownie points we could ever earn on the cross. Somebody say amen. So we don't come to the waters of baptism because we want to be held and be more liked by God. We come because it is a commandment of God. And a lot of times, you know, we come to the church and we think about it and we say, okay, well, I got baptized, and we leave it at the water. That day we got baptized was the last time we really even paid attention to it. We don't even think about it. But today I want to let you know that there are things that God released in us, for us, and through us on the day of our water baptism that many of us need to start drawing on all over again. We completely forget about it. I think about the number of people who come to Christ. They get saved. And the Bible, we encourage them. We tell them, hey, we encourage you to get baptized. And you know how many people say, okay, I'll do that when I get my life together. That's like going to a hospital when you feel good. That doesn't make any sense. You don't come to the hospital when everything is going right, right? We don't have to be perfect when we come to the waters of baptism. We just have to have a heart that's saying, God, I'm making you Lord of my life. So there are people who will come and they will pray a prayer of salvation and they are saved and they know the Lord, but they are living in disobedience because they never took the next step, which is getting baptized. Okay, some of y'all are like, you thinking about other people. Think about you first. Or there are some of us who we got baptized when we were little kids. We had no idea why we got in the water. You know how it is. My cousin got baptized. And so everybody said, well, since cousin got baptized, your mama looking at you, you know, you ought to go get baptized too. And you're just like, okay. And you go get baptized. Or like my children, my youngest one, when my older one got baptized, he said, I want to go swimming. You know, we have all these different reasons for why we get baptized, except for the one that matters most, which I have chosen to make Jesus Lord of my life. And if you're here today and you got baptized as a child and you didn't understand what you were doing, then I want to encourage you to consider getting rebaptized again, because the Bible is very clear. It says repent and be baptized. It doesn't say be born and get baptized. Which means you got to have a change of mind. And if you haven't been able to make a change of mind about your life, then your baptism, not to say is nil and void, but it's to say it wasn't done in the obedience that God desired. Now, what about people who baptize their kids as babies? Because I know there's a lot of religions that do that. We don't do that here. I'm getting rid of all the formalities. We don't baptize babies. We dedicate babies to the Lord because we believe that a child needs to make their own decision. We don't want them to get to a point where they feel like, well, I already been there, done that. And then they never really truly profess Jesus Christ as Lord of their life. We take children's baptisms really seriously around here. We probably grill our kids more than we grill adults, because we want to make sure that our kids understand what they are doing, so that it's not, they don't come back later and say, oh, I just got in some water and I didn't know what was going on. We want to make sure they truly get it. So why do we do it? If you've been baptized as a child, you know what I say? I thank God for your parents. I do. Because at least your parents were trying to bring you up in the Lord. Some of our parents, they wouldn't even think about Jesus when we was born, let alone consider baptizing us or getting us dedicated. So even if your parents did that, it's not to say that there's something wrong with them or they're horrible people. We praise God that they caused you to even think about the Lord at a young age. But we want to encourage those people. If you are here today and you got baptized as a kid and you don't understand why you did it, listen to today's message, because I believe that God's going to speak a word for you. Now, I want to talk about the rest of us. We knew what we was doing. We believed in Jesus. We loved him. We decided we're going to walk down the aisle. We're going to give our life to Jesus. And we're going to go on that fourth Sunday and get baptized. Because that's when we baptize. Don't we baptize on the fourth Sunday? Fourth Sunday. We get in the water. We come out. We have a great experience. How many of y'all got baptized and you felt good? You were like, whoa, I feel so amazing. I feel so clean. Not just because of the water, because spiritually something happened to you. And then how many of you, after you got out of the water, you haven't really thought about your baptism since? Like, you know, hey, I met the requirements. We good, Jesus? Not like I punched my ticket to heaven, but you know what I'm saying. I met the requirement. Now, God, come on, shower down your blessings on me because I did what you told me to do. Well, I want to tell you what happened to you when you got baptized and what happens to those who choose to get baptized first. There's three benefits of water baptism that we're going to be talking about today. So let's take a look at this. The first thing that I want to talk to you about is, why did you, anybody ever wonder why Jesus got baptized? You ever wonder about that? I was like, what's the point of baptism? The Bible says in Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized. Well, if Jesus got baptized, what did he repent from? I read the Bible like that. I know everybody don't read like that, but I'm like, excuse me, Jesus, because John the Baptist is out here preaching, repent for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent for the kingdom of God is at hand. And Jesus shows up and everybody getting baptized with John the Baptist. And Jesus shows up and he's like, hey, I need to be baptized too. And I would be sitting there going like, but why? What was the point of just, here's the other side, because he didn't have any sin. So if he didn't have any sin, what's the point of him getting in the water? And some people say because he was coming to be an example to show us what we need to do. That's true too. But the reality of it is he didn't need to be in it. He could just tell you, go get baptized. He didn't have to actually do it. Something happened to him on the day that he got baptized that would not have happened if he didn't do it. And it wasn't about repenting from sin. It wasn't about being an example for you. It was about releasing something in his life to prepare him for a ministry that he was getting ready to do. And he could not do it if he had not been baptized in water. What you need to know is Jesus never did a miracle until he got baptized in water. He did not do any public ministry until baptism happened. For 30 years, Jesus walked and he lived. He even was an apprentice as a carpenter. For 30 years, he was working. He was going through this motion and everybody thought he was going to be a carpenter. But he had a purpose. It was to come. It was to die for our sins, to be buried and rose again. But more than that, there was ministry that he had to do during those 3 years he was on the earth to display and to demonstrate the fact that the kingdom of God has come. He could not heal the sick if he hadn't got baptized. He could not raise the dead if he had not have gotten baptized. He could not deliver people from demons if he had not gotten baptized. So I know most of us think it's just dipping in a water, but there is something powerful that happens when you get baptized. And we don't want to think about that because I just want to go through the motion, but I want to prove to you today that these three things that happened, these three benefits that happened in Jesus's life when he got baptized are available to us today. It's not just some ritual. A lot of people think church is about a whole bunch of ritual and religious motions. Why do we do baptism? Why do we celebrate communion? Why, you know how people, you know, just like, I don't understand why we do all that stuff. We don't need all that. We can just go have church outside. Y'all ever had anybody tell you we can have church outside? My friends have told me I can go to the beach and be with Jesus a whole lot better than I can in some churches. You know what I say? Because God set it up this way. There is a purpose for the church. There is a purpose for baptism. There is a purpose for communion. There is a purpose for these things, these sacraments that God has placed in the body of Christ, because he is trying to release something in the atmosphere, and he can't do it any other way than through these particular sacraments he set up. Now, some of y'all are just like, well, I don't get this. Well, let me prove it to you. Three benefits of water baptism. Let's take a look at the passage that we are looking at, Mark chapter 1. Verse 9 through 11. Before we get that, let me see if I can break this down to you like this. Let me say this. You ever thought about your bank account every day? Good. You ever notice that in your bank account, you can make a deposit, but when you make a deposit in your bank account, what's funny is sometimes the money isn't immediately available. But many times when it becomes available a day or two later, it doesn't matter or it doesn't mean anything until you try to draw on your account. So in other words, if you don't have no money in your account, it don't matter you don't have any money in your account until you try to draw on your account. Then people got an attitude when you try to draw on your account when you ain't got no money. That becomes a problem. So when the money in your account becomes most effective is when you get ready to draw from your account. Check this out. A lot of us don't realize that baptism is that way. When we got baptized, there were some benefits that entered into our life. And they're like sitting in an account. But those things don't matter. They're not important until you get ready to try to draw from those things to cause them to be used and appropriate them in your life. I got this little cartoon I want you to see. I love these things. It's that moment when you refuse to check your bank account because you don't want to see how much money you don't have. Y'all know what it is. You'd be like, I don't even care what it say. Can't even deal with that right now. Look, many of us, we refuse to check our spiritual resources because we don't really want to pay attention to what's there. We don't want to know what's there or what's not there. How many of us have disqualified ourselves for doing powerful things for God? Whether it's because I'm afraid or I don't know if people are going to be take me seriously or what if I pray and they don't get healed? We don't realize the problem is you're drawing from your own personal bank account. But there is a Holy Spirit-filled bank account in heaven on your behalf that has all the power, all the resources, everything you need to operate and be effective in doing the ministry that God has for you. And that starts at baptism. So let's take a look at these three benefits. Mark chapter 1, verse 9 through 8. 9 through 11, sorry. And here's what it says. It came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. I'm about to show you three things in this scripture that happened to Jesus when he got baptized. The Bible says, and immediately coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting. Somebody say the heavens parted. That's one thing that happened. The next thing that happened is the Spirit descended upon him like a dove. Somebody say the Spirit fell on him. And finally, the voice came from heaven saying, you are my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. The third thing is the Father announced that he is pleased with Jesus. Now, baptism provides these three things. They provide an occasion for a heavenly announcement to your soul. They provide a setting for spiritual breakthrough for your circumstances. And they open the way to a ceaseless overflowing of the Holy Spirit on your life. Let's say number one together. Baptism provides an occasion of a heavenly announcement to your soul. Let's talk about that one first. An occasion of a heavenly announcement to my soul. I'm going to take this a little bit out of order because I think that there's something powerful about this setup this way. But it says, you are my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Jesus gets baptized, comes up out of the water, and a voice says, this is my son. And it's one thing if he just announced that's my child, but he says, in whom I am well pleased. I'm well pleased. I said, why, God, did you say that you're well pleased with Jesus? These words are spoken as a confirmation on Jesus' life of his sinless lifestyle, of the fact that he was Almighty God and he chose to leave heaven, come down to earth, wrap himself in human form to come and live with us. I always liken it to this. How many of y'all love your dogs? Y'all love, you got a dog, you love your dog? How many of y'all love your dog so much that you want to become a dog? I mean, just get right on down on your hands and knees, sniff, start smelling, barking, eating like that. Nobody loves your dog that much. Come on, somebody. Licking. God loved us filthy humans so much that he took on human flesh to become like one of us. He was almighty. He was amazing. He was matchless. He was sinless, but he took on human form because he loved us so much. And on the day of baptism, God spoke over his life and he said, Jesus, I am well pleased with you. I know you didn't have to do it, but you did. And because of that, I'm pleased with you. It pleased the Father because Jesus was fully submitted to God's plan, and he identified with the people he came to reach. This speaks not only about who Jesus is, but it has something in it for us as well, too. There has to be somebody in this room who knows the Lord, knows Jesus, given your life to Christ, know that you were born again, but sometime this week there was something that happened in your life that you began to feel less than effective, less than efficient, less than pleasing as a son or daughter to God. It could be because of something you know you did that was displeasing to the Father, and presumably when you did it, you confessed it to the Lord. But come on, I'm talking to people who know, you know what, I'm saved, but I'm not perfect. There are some of us who we are constantly messing up, and we're trying our hardest. We want to fix it, but we feel like we are inadequate, like we don't have enough. Like, man, God, I keep messing this thing up over and over and over and over again. The waters of baptism are to remind us that, look, God is still pleased with you. Let me see if I can help you understand this. The reason why God was pleased with Jesus was because he was sinless and he was operating as a human and he was still being obedient to God. Now check this out. Why would God say to us that we're pleasing? Anybody ever wanted God to say, God, this, for God to say, I'm so pleased with you? I don't know about you, but when I hear those little whispers in my ear, I smile. And I think about, you think you're pleasing because you were so good this week. You think you're pleasing because you didn't cuss nobody out this week like you cussed them out last week? Think you're so pleasing because you kept your legs crossed a little longer than you did the time before? I'm bringing this. You got a whole lot of reasons why you think you're pleasing, but the number one reason that we are pleasing to God is one that you cannot earn, you cannot deserve, you didn't do anything to get. It is simply because of the blood of Jesus Christ. It is simply because he died on the cross for your sins. And the minute you receive Jesus in your heart, God washes you of that sin and God pronounces over your life, I am pleased with you. He says, this is my son, this is my daughter in whom I am well pleased. Now, the problem is we have an adversary who, when you mess up, likes to remind you of how jacked up you are. Doesn't he come to whisper little words in your ear like, I thought you were a Christian? If only the people at church could see what you just did. People at this church see it, we'd be like, girl, we did it too. Come on. Ain't no biggie. You know, I hate to be see churches where people are so holy that they forget how much in hell they were before they came to Jesus. I don't want to be in a church where we get so cleaned up we forgot how dirty we were a couple weeks ago when Jesus came in our life. I don't want to be a person of God who can condemn or talk down or look upon somebody who got their skirt a little too short or they clothes a little too tight or, you know what I'm saying, they done slept around. You know what, girl, bye. Who cares? Jesus loves you. And he died to take care of all of that. Now, you've been in a church for some years, for a long time. You've been walking with Jesus. And, you know, we done talked to you about your skirt and it's still... We're not going to put you out. We're going to love you and encourage you, girl. Come on, let's go shopping. Come on. We have got to stop condemning people. And remember, when we talk about the waters of baptism, that the purpose of the water of baptism is for us to be reminded of what Jesus did on the cross. And not only that, but his pronouncement over our lives that we are his beloved children and he is well pleased with us. If you didn't know this today, let me encourage you this morning and let you know that God is pleased with you. If you've given your life to Jesus Christ, you've been baptized, God is absolutely pleased with you. Some of us, we didn't have parents who told us that. So when we hear it, we freak out. We don't know how to take that. God, what you want from me now? Because anytime anybody ever gave you a compliment, that they wanted something from you. That's the trick of the enemy. God doesn't want anything from us. He just wants to be in a relationship with us. There are moments when we start to beat ourselves up. There are moments when the enemy comes in to capitalize on our mistakes. The devil takes pleasure in not letting you off the hook for your sin. See, the funny thing is all you got to do is confess it. God will forgive you. And the Bible says he removes your sin as far as the east is from the west. But Satan doesn't want to remove that sin from you. Satan wants to keep reminding you. He wants to play the condemnation, the blame game. He wants to put you down. Everything he can do to rub your nose into how you've messed this thing up. He tries to make you feel like you are a total flop. Like you can never get it right. You may even be on heaven's questionable list now because of what you did. Let me tell you something, you can never get on God's questionable list once you've given your heart and your life to Jesus Christ. Or he might make you think, well, God is kind of okay with this, but don't expect anything really significant to happen in your life now because you did that. You pretty much blackball yourself from the possibilities of anything really worthwhile happening because you committed this sin. See, that's condemnation. But I got a word for those of you, or for that spirit that's been condemning many of you. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. You are not condemned because of your past mistakes. As a matter of fact, you ought to look the devil square in the eye and say, and so what? I messed this up, but that's what the purpose of the cross was. Whenever you want to start letting the enemy talk to you, you pull that cross back over your life and you remind yourself that I am a child of God and I am well pleased. God is well pleased with me. There are times that I lay in my bed and I'll just feel what I think might be the hand of God just stroking my forehead and says, daughter, I'm so pleased with you. And some of y'all think that's crazy. No, you need to start telling yourself, my daddy is pleased with me. My daddy is pleased with me. My daddy is pleased with me. Because a lot of times we can't serve or do what God has called us to do because we don't know who we are in Christ Jesus. We don't know that we've already been pleasing to God. So whether we step out and we do quote unquote fail or we succeed, it don't matter because I'm already pleasing to God. It don't matter if I pray for you and you get healed or not. I'm already pleasing to God. It don't matter if I stand up and do what God has called me to do. I'm already pleasing to God. All I've got to do is stay in my walk with God and realize that because he died on the cross and I've accepted his death, I am fully pleasing to God. And see, when you come to the waters of baptism, you can't forget. See, when I go see people get baptized, I'm reminded of the day I got baptized. I was 7 years old when I got baptized, and I fully understood what I was doing at the time. I said, I wanted Jesus in my life. My family had gone through some stuff. My daddy had left one of many times. He came back over and over again. He was an alcoholic. And we were poor, and we were about to lose our home. And my mama said, just pray. And all I prayed was, Jesus, don't let me be homeless. And we weren't homeless. And I felt like he answered my prayer. And at 7 years old, I said, if you can keep me from being homeless, you're real. Now, that's the way a seven-year-old kid thinks. I remember walking down the aisle. It was my great-grandfather's church, or my great-uncle's church, rather. And I remember giving my life to Christ. Mount Calvary Missionary Baptist Church. Y'all know. When I first moved to California, I said, I can always find the black churches, but if it's got a Missionary Baptist Church after it, I'll figure it out. But anyway, that's another story. So I gave my life to Christ. I got baptized, and I remember that day so very clearly. The minute I came out of the water, I felt so loved. I felt so loved. And it wasn't because my mom said anything or my dad said anything. Something in my spirit knew that I was pleasing to God. And so many times when times are rough, I forget that. But remember, I got a bank account that says I'm pleasing to him. And all I got to do is go withdraw on that. Oh, on the day I got baptized, he loved me. Oh, I'm reminded that I'm pleasing to him. So I don't want you to forget. See, baptism, we can easily forget that on that day we were accepted. We were loved. The Bible says in Romans 5:6, for when we were still without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man, someone we even dare to die. But verse 8 says this, but God demonstrates his own love towards us. And that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. How much more is God pleased that you're trying to do right? If he could die for you when you was messing up and you was in the world and you was doing all the other backwards, no good, low down things. Come on, don't nobody remember. I think about what I used to do. I was 7 when I got saved, but I think about all the stuff he forgave me from since I've been saved. While I was yet a sinner, Christ died. While I was doing my biggest dirt, Christ died for my sin. And I start to say, and now that I'm trying to live for God, the enemy is trying to put me down. He's trying to make me feel bad. Miss me with all of that. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Christ died for me while I was a sinner, and he still loves me even though I'm trying to do right. Come on, somebody, give God some praise. You know what else happened is we start to feel inadequate. We start to forget who we are in Christ, and then we start to feel inadequate, like we don't have what it takes to do what God's called us to do. Some of us feel inadequate because of past relationships we've had. You know, relationships where people have talked about you, they've told you you're not. I'm talking about relationships from your mother, your father. Relationships from family members, cousins, boyfriends. Maybe you were verbally abused, maybe physically abused. Maybe it wasn't even so strong as that verbal or physical abuse, but they just say stuff that pick at you, and it lasts for years. My mother, her family is so good. You know, one thing my family is good at is talking about people. It's sad. And when I was a kid, I didn't know no better. I just talked about people too. But my uncle, who is my mom's youngest brother, he used to say, he says, your mama talked about me so bad when I was a kid. She talked about my legs so bad, I never wore shorts again. Now, we was just joking and everybody's having fun. But, you know, words can hurt you so bad that it prevents you from doing something later on in life. And I said, Mom, I hope you repent in your grave for what you said to my uncle, because that was wrong, right? But check this out. Sometimes things like that, it's not even necessarily meant to be a big abusive situation, but something is said or done, and it makes us feel inadequate. And Satan will play on your inadequacies. Satan will remind you, when you get ready to go pray from somebody, he'll remind you, you don't know what you're talking about. You know, you're going to say stuff, and just like when you were a kid, you said something, and people tried to shut you down because, you know, they said you weren't smart enough. You ain't smart enough to pray for somebody right now. So you'll back up, and you'll say, okay, yeah, maybe I shouldn't pray. You'll have this fear of failure because when you were a kid, maybe something happened to you as a kid and you failed and people talked about you. And so now when it's time to pray for somebody, there's a fear of failure. Oh, what if it don't work? What are they going to think about me? Now, let me give you a little secret. If you pray from somebody and you don't see an immediate healing, that don't mean it didn't work. God is still in control because the Bible says that you can pray for people, the sick, and they will recover. Recover is a long-term process. You ever pray for somebody and they didn't get healed right away, but then like a week later they start feeling better? And then they sitting up thinking it was the doctors and you just like going, dang, what happened to my prayer? It was your prayers. Come on, somebody. Y'all, we forget. We don't connect it. It's your prayer. It was the prayers that you spoke heaven right on earth over their life that God moved. Come on, somebody. And you didn't see it come that day, but it don't mean it wasn't effective because it came later. I told Bible study on Wednesday night. I said, I have prayed for people and they've died. And most people was like, oh. But that didn't stop me from continuing to pray for people. So am I going to stop praying for somebody's healing because somebody died? My mother died of cancer. I prayed for her to be healed. And since my mother has died over 12 years ago, so many people have gotten healed and delivered from cancer, stage 4 cancers, from being in hospice care through prayers that I was part of lifting up, not because of me, but because God is still a healing God. And you're trying to reconcile in your mind and the enemy trying to make you feel bad. See, you prayed and it didn't work that last time. What's the point? You got to tell the devil, shut up. I am fully pleasing to God. And because I'm fully pleasing and I am his son, there are some things that are available to me as his child. And I don't care what you say. I'm not going to back off of those things. Come on, somebody. Just because you want to tell me I'm not good enough or I messed this up or it didn't work last time. Don't let what happened in the past, don't let that stop you from doing what God has called you to do today. Don't beat yourself up. In the Bible, you know what happened? When God sent them out to heal people, the disciples came upon this boy who was demon-possessed. His daddy asked him to heal him, and they couldn't do it. It's the one instance you see in Scripture where somebody went to pray for somebody and it didn't work. So funny. And you know what they did? They went back to Jesus. They said, in private, they said, hey, boss, you said we could pray for people, and we prayed, and it didn't happen. What happened? And then Jesus broke it down. He says, this kind has to come out by prayer and fasting. And they were taught something new. They got a new revelation on their ability and their gifts and the power of healing in their life. When you pray for somebody and it don't happen, you need to go back to Papa God. You need to say, Daddy, you know what? You say you fully pleased with me, then why didn't this work? And you not know God will give you a revelation of why it didn't work? He'll show you because he wants you to do that. He says, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely you ought to give. See, when we're talking about advancing the kingdom, I realize that the number one reason why people don't do it is they don't know who they are in Christ. You are a child of God, and he is fully pleased. Say, God is fully pleased with me. No, let's say this. Say, Papa God is pleased with me. Your heavenly Father is so pleased with you. Stop beating yourself up. Let's look at the second benefit of water baptism. Y'all ready? Now, see, I know some of y'all are like, I already know this. But then we forget in the middle of these situations how pleasing we are to God, don't we? I got all excited. I was like, ooh, he pleased with me. What you want me to do now, Jesus? You please? Let's go. Right? All right. Here we go. The second thing is baptism provides a setting for your spiritual breakthrough, for spiritual breakthrough in your circumstances. Let's say this together. Baptism provides a setting for spiritual breakthrough for your circumstance. So back in Mark chapter 1, verse 10, Jesus gets baptized. And the Bible says, and immediately coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting. The heavens parted. Now, what you need to know is that was not a physical, like the clouds opened up and sun shone down. That wasn't a physical thing that happened. It was something that happened in the spiritual realm. The heavens parted. That word parted in the Greek does not just mean it was like a nice little separation. That word parted in the Greek is schizo. S-C-H-I-Z-O. It's where we get today's word schizophrenic. You know what it means to be schizophrenic? To be divided in mind. To have a mind torn apart. A split mind. It is the tearing of the mind. That word schizo is a violent ripping apart. What the Bible is saying is that there was this violent ripping apart in the invisible realm that happened over Jesus when he got baptized. It was almost as if Father God was ripping apart all of the demonic forces, all of the demonic things in the atmosphere. He was tearing it apart and he was opening up a way for God himself to allow a flow to happen between heaven and earth. It did not happen until Jesus got baptized. We don't see a violent opening or tearing up of the atmosphere over anybody until we get to the baptism of Jesus Christ. When you get baptized, there was a ceiling. Before you got baptized, there was a ceiling over you. Almost like everything you tried, nothing worked. Every time you tried to do something, nothing worked. But when you give your life to Jesus and get in that water of baptism, there is a violent ripping into all of the demonic forces over your life that opens up a channel where now you have unblocked access to the Father. All the resources in heaven now can flow easily down to you and through you. It is a violent rending of the atmosphere on your behalf. You don't just get up and come out of the water and say, yay-hoo. No, something spiritual is going on over you. You begin to operate under what we call an open heaven. You know what an open heaven is? It means that there is nothing blocking you and God. Nothing blocking God's ability to release stuff down to you. Jesus had to get baptized because he was a human who was living under a spiritual force. Because he was human. You don't believe me? Ephesians chapter 6 says it so clearly. You know what Ephesians chapter 6 says? It says we don't wrestle with flesh and blood. Come on. But we wrestle against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. See, we forget that when Jesus came down as a man, he was fully man. He wasn't operating like God. He wasn't omniscient, meaning all-knowing. He wasn't omnipotent, meaning all-powerful. Come on, somebody. He wasn't omnipresent. He wasn't everywhere at one time. He was completely, fully human. And he was not operating as God on the earth. He was operating just like a man on the earth. And so he did not have powers over these principalities at that moment. But when he got baptized, the heavens opened up and there became a release over his life. So that then, wherever he went and spoke, healing happened. Wherever he went and he cast out of demons, demons had to flee. Wherever he went and he rose the dead got up. Wherever he went and needed power from on high, there was no block between his resource of power and on earth. See, when you see people get baptized, don't just say, oh, good, they got in the water. You ought to be praising God because in the spiritual realm, something just opened up over their life. You don't have to be afraid anymore. You don't have to worry anymore. That's why I don't understand now. This is why I say we need to come back to this conversation, because we start feeling like, well, God, why can't I do this? And God is like, there is no block between me, you and heaven. Don't forget that. The enemy makes you think, well, God's not going to move. No, no, no. There's no block between you and heaven. Here's the funny part about an open heaven. It goes with you. It's not on a location. So wherever you go, the heavens are opened up over you. So if you walk into a situation where people are acting crazy, the open heavens are over you and you can speak in the name of Jesus. I declare peace, be still. See, in the River Jordan where Jesus got baptized, the heavens opened up. But when he was in Galilee, the heavens were still over him. When he was operating in Jerusalem, the heavens were still over him. When he was, come on somebody, when he was in Samaria, the heavens were still over him. Wherever you go on your job, you got to open heaven. In your neighborhood, you got to open heaven. At the hospital, you got to open heaven. Come on somebody, when you drive in your car, you under an open heaven. And we cannot forget that we have this direct connection and direct access where the resources of heaven can be released and flow through us. Remember, I told you, you have the keys of the kingdom of God. Whatever you bind in heaven will be what? Bound on earth. Whatever you loose in heaven will be loosed on earth. Why? Because you're under an open heaven. We can't forget this. You know what I found interesting? Was the Bible says right after this passage of Jesus' baptism, Jesus, the Bible says that the Spirit led him, the Holy Spirit, led him in the wilderness to be tempted. I was like, I got a problem with that. I mean, you're pleased with me. I'm under this open heaven. Why do I now have to go deal with the devil? I mean, don't it just seem like I got favor, I'm pleased, I got an open heaven. Let's just go tiptoe. We should just walk on the waters of baptism all the way for the rest of our lives. But no, the Spirit led him to be tested in the wilderness. See, the purpose of the open heaven is not so you can feel good. The purpose of the open heaven is not so that you can have, oh, Father God, drop down some money so I'll be okay. No, the purpose of the open heaven is for you to go do battle with the enemy. And Jesus did not have the resource yet to battle the enemy until he got baptized. When he got baptized, 40 days and 40 nights with no food. And the enemy's talking to him. We don't see anywhere in scripture that Satan physically showed up. He is not a physical being. He uses people. You're not going to see him with pitchfork and ears sticking out and long tail talking to Jesus. This was a mental battle. And some of you don't realize that the mental battles you have in your mind that you're facing, the stuff that the enemy is saying to you, give up, this Christian thing ain't working. Oh, just let God go. You know what? When you got baptized, you stood under an open heaven and God gave you everything you need to defeat those voices right then and there. How did he do it? He did it with the word. And the word of God says, you know, it's funny. I think about it. It wasn't like Jesus was just out there like it was a Bible bowl quiz. And somebody was like, hey, what's a good scripture? Give me this scripture. No, he had a word to fight the attack of the enemy. It was almost as if his word was a sword slicing and dicing demonic forces. See, when you stand under an open heaven, the Bible says the Holy Spirit will remind you of what Jesus said. So he'll give you a word to remind you of what you need to do in the middle of that situation. You get faced with lust. Don't sit there and sit in it. You know what's interesting? You could be minding your own business in today's society and lust will pop up everywhere. This is the reason why I don't like to watch TV no more. I like Netflix because there's no commercials. Commercials be getting you so that you be minding your business. You'd be like, dang. Impure thought, stop. Right? You could be driving down the freeway, a billboard will mess you up. You could be on your email, minding your own business, and get a random email that will mess you up. But I praise the Lord that God has me under an open heaven where the Holy Spirit can speak to me and remind me. Not only am I not supposed to do that, but he can remind me of a word from the Lord. Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins are outside the body. This is against you. Run away from that madness. I'd be like, oh, Jesus. Come on, somebody. I'm not telling you that it's not going to happen. I'm telling you that when you're under an open heaven, you are there so that God can teach you how to fight and slice and dice and deal with that mess. All kinds of stuff that you're struggling with. You know what? When you're sitting there and you looking at this spouse that you picked, not to say God picked them, but you picked them. But once you pick them and say, I do, they become God's pick for you too. No matter how you got them, they're yours now. It's God's plan for you now. You know how you're sitting there and you're looking at them and you're trying to figure out how to get up out of this mess? This ain't what I thought it was going to be. My mother was a wonderful woman of God, but she had something wrong. And she used to say that marriage ain't nothing but a piece of paper. So she felt like at any time she can just hit the divorce ticket and get up out of there. I was like, dude, that's wrong. Watch this. So we think, I'm just going to divorce. I'm just going to get up out of this. But see, when you stand under an open heaven, you don't see divorce. The Spirit of God starts to enter in your mind and you start to see there is a possibility here that God is going to come in and I'm going to fight against the demonic forces that are dividing me and my spouse. And I'm going to come against that and we are going to stay together and we're going to live a life that's giving God glory. We will not quit. We will not walk away. God hates divorce. We're going to fight this thing. We're going to do it. Even if the other person is like, I'm out, you're in there and you're saying, no, God, you said whatever I bind in heaven shall be bound on earth. Whatever I loose in heaven shall be loose. I loose you. In my marriage, I loose peace in my household. I bind up Satan who is trying to destroy my marriage and my family. See, when you stand under an open heaven, you ought to see the world real different. You don't see the world as impossible anymore. You see the world as everything that God has is now possible for me, and I have access to it, and I am not going to quit until I loose it in my family, until I loose it in my friends, until I loose it in my neighborhood, until I loose it on my job, until I loose it in this city, until I loose it in the world. I am not going to give up. Nothing is impossible with God. And if I have direct access, that means nothing is impossible for me on the earth either. See, when you come to the waters of baptism, you get reminded that the heavens have been schizoed, torn apart over you. The third benefit of baptism. See, I know you thought this was just about getting in the water, but God had a purpose for your baptism. The third thing with the baptism, the third benefit of baptism is this. Baptism opens the way to a ceaseless overflowing of the Holy Spirit on your life. Come on, let's say this together. It opens the way to a ceaseless overflowing of the Holy Spirit on your life. Verse 10 says, and immediately coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. You see, Jesus needed to receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit for the ministry that was ahead of him. He could not do it without the power of the Holy Spirit. John 3:34 says this, for he whom God has sent speaks the word of God, for God does not give the Spirit by measure. And I was like, what does that mean? You know how you read stuff? Sometimes you got to read it in another version to get what it's saying. So I had to check out another version. The English Standard Version says, for he whom God has sent utters the word of God, for he gives the Spirit without measure. Somebody say without measure. And then I thought, well, maybe the English Standard Version didn't know what they was talking about. So let me check another version. I checked the NASB. And the NASB says, for he whom God has sent speaks the word of God. For he, says the same thing, gives the Spirit without measure. God gives the Spirit without measure. God does not have a measuring cup over your life and saying you only get a quarter cup of the Holy Spirit. He does not say, you have been foul this week. You don't get any more Holy Ghost in your life because you have been jacked up. See, when you confess your sins, that open heaven is right there. Why does there have to be an open heaven? Because he is pouring out without measure over your life the power of the Holy Spirit on you. You don't have any less measure of a Holy Spirit on your life than I as a pastor have on my life. You don't will have any less measure on your life, check this out, than Billy Graham got on his life. You don't have any less measure of the Holy Spirit on your life than Jesus Christ himself had on his life. The Spirit is poured out without measure. Now pay attention to the passage, because this is really powerful. See, the passage, John 3:34 says this, "For he whom God has sent speaks the word, for he gives the Spirit without measure." God sent his Son and gave him unlimited power in the Holy Spirit. He gave him unlimited resources in the Holy Spirit. Now, that was toward the beginning of Jesus' ministry, right? This is John chapter 3. Now, I want you to just, we're going to put it on the screen, John chapter 20. You flip ahead about 17 chapters, and now this is after Jesus has died. He's been buried. He rose again. He's talking to the disciples. John 20:22 says, "And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, listen, receive the Holy Spirit." Wait a minute. John chapter 3 says, "He whom God has sent, he has poured the Spirit out without measure." Then Jesus comes back 17 chapters later and says, "Now listen, y'all, receive the Holy Spirit." He is saying to them, now, you better get this. You better receive the Holy Spirit. Why? He's saying, what I've been doing all these years on earth has been doing nothing but opening a doorway that will release the Spirit of God on your life. That's why he told them, remember Acts 1, he says, don't you leave till you receive power from on high. John 20:21, he says this, check this out. He says, "Peace to you, as the Father has sent me, I also send you." So let me put this together with John 3:34 and kind of put my Holy Ghost mind together and work this together for you. I would join that verse with the verse 17 chapters early, and I would say, as the Father sent me, so I also send you. And he whom the Father has sent, God has given an unlimited resource of the Holy Spirit. So in other words, just like God sent me and gave me an unlimited resource of the Holy Spirit, I am now sending you and giving you an unlimited resource of the Holy Spirit. You need to know that you have everything available to you. The Spirit has been given to you without measure. When it comes to healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out demons, freely you have received, freely give. You know what you freely received? You freely got the Holy Ghost. Now freely take that measure of the power of the Holy Spirit and release that power on somebody else's life. Stop walking around like, I ain't got no power. I can't do anything. Did God not send you and tell you, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit? Did he not tell you to go and be my witnesses when you receive the power of God from on high? Then why do we sit up and act like we have no power? I don't know what to say. Jesus said, don't worry, the Holy Spirit will speak for you, because he gave it to you without measure. I don't know if I'm doing it right. Who cares? If it's wrong, the Holy Ghost will correct it. But if you do nothing, the Holy Spirit cannot flow without measure in your life. I don't know about you, but I feel power come upon me when I think about the unlimited resource of the Holy Spirit that I have operating on my life. See, now it is not about my power when I lay my hands on anybody, because my power don't mean anything. I'm standing under an open heaven. I'm completely pleased with God, and there is a flow of the power of the Holy Spirit on my life. And as I lay my hand there, come on, somebody, you see the stream from heaven operating right through this vessel, through my hands on somebody's life. And God, boom, will move immediately, not because I'm so good, but because there is an unlimited resource that has been released over my life. And because I stand under an open heaven, there is nothing blocking that unlimited resource from flowing in my life. And just like there is unlimited resources on my life, there's an unlimited resource on your life. What would you do if you had an unlimited resource of the Holy Ghost? Where would you operate? What would you say? Where would you go if you had an unlimited resource of the Holy Spirit? Guess what? You already do. I was praying, and I was brought back to our first teaching in this series called A Multitude Mindset. And God said to me, he said, the problem with the body of Christ today is they don't know who they are. They don't realize they're under an open heaven. They don't realize they have unlimited resources. And because of that, they think too small. There's a story about a guy who bought a ticket to get on a cruise liner from England to the United States. And he wanted to come to the United States so bad. And he saved up all his money and he worked really hard and he spent everything he had on the ticket. And when he got on the boat, all he had was this little bag of food. He was traveling across the ocean. And he tried to make those little crackers live. He tried to make them work. He ate those little crackers. They got stale, but he just kept eating them. He had no idea that included in the cost of his ticket was unlimited food, unlimited drinks. And yet he was living on those little crackers. See, body of Christ, we living off those little stale crackers. When God has paid for all of the resources to be released to us, the power of heaven has been released to us. We are living on our resources, not realizing that we have everything that God has available in heaven to us. See, when somebody else is sick, I want you to go back to the waters of baptism. Don't think about yourself. Think about, oh, wait, I'm fully pleasing. So don't matter what I did this morning, I'm under an open heaven. So there's nothing that's going to block this healing from being released. And I got all power. I've got it without measure, the Spirit, right now. So I'm going to, Lord, be a vessel where the power of the Holy Spirit can operate through me and land on this person's life and healing can happen. See, that's the way I want you to start thinking. When you start telling somebody about the gospel of the kingdom of God, remember, it's not just Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. That's a part of it, and we're grateful for their salvation, and God wants to use them. But it's that God wants to transform your entire life. Your marriage is messed up. Look, I got unlimited access, unlimited power in heaven. Let me release it right now over your life. The waters of baptism were not just some ritual. There was power being released. What do I want you to do with today's message? Well, the first thing is if you've never asked Jesus to be Lord of your life, well, baptism won't apply unless you make him Lord, unless you invite him in. And once you invite him in, then you get access to all of these things. The second thing is, I want you to think about, did I know what I was doing when I got baptized? Because if not, maybe I need to do this thing again. We don't judge you. We don't condemn you. Because you didn't even understand what was happening. This was probably the best baptismal counseling I could ever give. The third thing is maybe you're here and you got baptized and you knew what you were doing, but you forgot. You forgot about the resources. You've been living as if you're broke and you haven't been accessing the check account with unlimited resources of the power, the checking account with open access to heaven, and the checking account reminding you of who you are. Come on, everybody, stand to your feet. Baptism is not just something we do. Yes, it is an act of obedience, but can you see now why Jesus said, repent and be baptized? Every one of you for the forgiveness of your sins, and then you will receive the Holy Spirit. This is powerful. Now, some people say, well, wait a minute, Pastor. What about people who get saved on their deathbed? Are you telling me they're not going to go to heaven because they didn't get baptized? No, I'm not telling you that at all. You can see the thief on the cross. He didn't get a chance to get baptized. And Jesus says, on this day, you'll be in paradise. But the problem I have is that people make that exception as a case for their disobedience today. Because there's an exception where they can't get to water, God's grace is accommodating. We say, well, there must be an exception for me. I got 20 years saved. I didn't have to get in no water. No, that's straight up rebellion and disobedience. And that exception doesn't apply to you. So every head bowed, every eye closed. You might be one of those three people. The first, you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ. You've been wondering why stuff ain't working. Why is it that every time I try something, it fails? It's because you're not a child of God yet. You're not under an open heaven and unlimited resources aren't available to you. But you can fix that today. You can fix that right now. If you're here today and you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, I want you to do me a favor. Just slip your hand in the air. I promise I won't embarrass you. I just want to pray for you. Hallelujah. All right. Then the second set is for those of you. You've given your life to Jesus Christ, but you maybe never got baptized, or you did it and you didn't understand what you were doing. And while you sat in this message, something has been tugging at your heart and saying, wow, that's it. I need to get rebaptized. I need to know that I'm pleasing to God. I need to know that I'm under an open heaven. I need those heavens to open, those to be parted over me. I want an unlimited resource of the Holy Spirit on my life. If that's you, you've given your life to Jesus, you've maybe never been baptized, or you didn't understand why you did it before, and since the Lord's telling you to be baptized now, lift your hands. Lift your hands. Hallelujah. Lift your hands. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Those of you with your hands lifted, I want you to just hold on for just a second. Thank you, Lord. There are some of y'all who you've been baptized. You know what it was about. You know what you meant when you did it, but you have forgotten. That day was a mile marker in your life. It was a spiritual marker. You felt so good that day, but you have forgotten the power of the baptism of waters. God is saying today, just go back and withdraw on the account. Come on back. There's stuff already there. If that's you and you're saying, look, I've forgotten and I want to reconnect, I want to be reminded, lift your hands. I want to pray for you. Lift your hands. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you for each and every person that's here with their hands raised. In the name of Jesus, I speak life over them. I declare, Papa God, that you are pleased with them. I declare that there is an open heaven over their life and that there is unlimited resource of the Holy Spirit flowing for them. Now, Lord, as they leave this place, as they walk around, may they be reminded of who they are in Jesus Christ. May they never, ever, ever let the enemy talk them out of or cause them to doubt the fact that they are pleasing to God. May they never let the enemy destroy their hope or their mindset that they're not living under an open heaven. And may they never, ever, ever forget that they are operating under an unlimited resource of the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray for a special anointing, a special reminder of the water of baptism over everybody whose hand that's lifted right now, oh God, that a free-flowing power of the Holy Ghost will begin to operate in them, and that as they move, the kingdom of God will be advanced in their life. In Jesus' mighty name, somebody say amen and give the Lord a hand praise. Thank you, Jesus. Come on. Pastor Jen is going to come forward. If you know that you want to get rebaptized, or if you want to get baptized for the first time, she's going to be here. And Miss Donna, can you get a pen and paper? Miss Donna will be here. We'll take your name and number. We baptize on the fourth Sundays of the month, which is in two Sundays. Is that correct? It's June 28th. You can sign up today to get baptized on June 28th. So if you had your hand raised, don't walk out. You know, if you know you need to get baptized, don't walk out and leave. That's rebellion. Go get it done. Take care of it. Get it done now. And on June 28th, I want to see all of us fill in that room being reminded. See, we go support people getting baptized because it's a reminder of what God did in our life. And it's an encouragement to them. Amen? So we're going to do that June 28th. Amen? All right. So don't leave if you had your hand raised for coming to baptism. Let me bless you guys. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you. May the Spirit of the living God rest, rule, and abide with each of you henceforth, now, and forevermore. May you know that Papa God is pleased with you. May you operate under an open heaven, and may it be a spirit released on you without measure, the power of the Holy Spirit. When people ask how you're doing this week, may your response be, I dismiss you in the Lord. Give somebody a hug today. God bless you.
You have been listening to Pastor Shayna Hurd, Senior Pastor of Rohi Christian Church, a multi-ethnic, economically diverse, Spirit-led congregation located in San Jose, California. For audio teaching downloads by Pastor Shayna, service times and directions, or to become a Rohi partner, go to www.rohichurch.org or write to Rohi Christian Church, 474 Piercy Road, San Jose, California, 95138.